Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness.
Welcome now to our show. Here's a friend you all know. Charlotte Greenwood is with us again.
The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show, brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. And here is our star, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood. Charlotte's doing in Lakeview at the home of the Barton children. Right now, Charlotte's put her problems aside to make a regular phone call to her manager, Roger Humphrey, in Hollywood. And she's safe.
I'm sorry, Roger. I can't hear what you said. Robert's dog is barking. He heard me say phone, and I guess he thought I said bone. Quiet, Flash. Don't you know half the trouble in the world comes from bone? Too much in the head and not enough in the back? Quiet. What did you say, Roger? What kind of a dog is he? I don't know. From here, he looks a little like a setter, only he never sets. And a little like a springer, only he never springs. And something like a Pekingese, but he never peeks. Confidentially, I think he's a police dog in plain clothes. You hear that, Roger? I never saw a dog with so many pants and just one coat. Of course he's friendly. Yesterday he gave the new mailman a wonderful welcome. I guess he thought the mailman was bringing him a litter. Or else he thought the mail pouch was a mail pooch. Oh, dear. There's somebody at the door, Roger. I'll have to get there before Flash does, or else they won't think this is a house but a barking lot. Call you next week. Bye.
Oh, hello, Mr. Anderson.
I'm in a bit of a rush, and I... What's the matter with that meat hound?
You better not let Robert hear you say that. Flash is a very clever dog, aren't you, Flash? He used to be with a circus.
Oh, yeah? What circus?
A flea circus. He was in the transportation department.
Look, Charlotte, I haven't time to stand here and talk nonsense.
It must be very tiring. Yeah. Come in and sit down.
Huh? Oh, thanks. I will. No, on second thought, I can't say. I'll just leave a message for Cronin. He'll be here sometime this afternoon, won't he?
Well, he's due any moment now. You might as well wait.
No. They're expecting me in a meeting. After all, as city editor of the Dispatch, I'm a rather important man.
Flash. Keep your opinions to yourself. Look, Mr. Anderson, I'm icing some cakes. I have to get back in the kitchen.
Well, just tell Crawley. Oh. Hey.
Angel food cakes.
Come to think of it, Charlotte, there is a little matter I want to talk over with you. I believe I will stay. There's something about that dog's expression I don't like.
There's nothing subtle about the dog.
Oh, here's Judge Cronin now.
Hello, Judge.
Hello.
Aren't you early?
Yes, Miss Greenwood. Just caught adjourned early. Yeah. How are you, Anderson?
Come in, boys.
I've been trying to locate you, Cronin. Aren't you chairman of the high school essay contest again this year?
That's right.
Any changes in the rules?
No, same as last year. Seniors submit their essays to the state university and 5 winners receive scholarships.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, especially for those girls and boys who otherwise couldn't afford to go on with their education.
Nothing like college. There's where I encountered my happiest days.
Yes, you've been going around in it ever since.
I resent that. Especially from a man who flunked out.
Well, I did you flunked out. Yeah. I was an honest student. Why, Miss Greenwood, in the hardest mathematical question ever given to the class, I had only a slight deviation from the right answer.
How far were you from the right answer, Judge?
2 C. I tell you, there's something about that dog's expression I don't like.
I think the dog is very articulate. Oh, my goodness, my cake.
The cake? Yes, Cronin. Charlotte made some angel food cake.
Well,
like.
You know, Charlotte, I haven't seen a homemade angel food cake since I was a kid.
Yes, I haven't seen one myself.
You haven't? Well, you poor boys. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take you right out in the kitchen and let you look at one. Now, don't you get any other ideas, because there's a dance at the high school this evening, and these cakes are for the children. I'm taking them down to the lunchroom.
Whoa, whoa!
Miss Greenwood. Well, you look as pretty as a purple sage down home in Texas when the bees come buzzing around.
Well, Corporal, I've heard of sagebrush honey, but it sure takes you Texans to paw it on.
There you go again, rawhiding me about coming from Texas.
Son, nobody ever comes from Texas, because wherever you go, you take Texas right along with you. Are you going to the dance next door?
Well, I sure am aiming to, ma'am. That is, if I don't have to play a lone hand. Jack Barton said to meet him here, and he'd have a gal for me.
My Tex, you've been stationed here in Lakeview for 3 months. Haven't you met any girls?
Well, yes, ma'am, but I reckon I'm kind of particular.
I know exactly what you mean. You want a girl just like the girl that married Harry James.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, and they've all been corralled, I reckon.
Well, who's the girl Jack's getting for you, Tex?
Well, her name's Gloria Winfield.
Oh, Gloria. Oh, she's very pretty.
Yeah, she's sensible.
Well, I'd say she's sensibly pretty and pretty sensible. I'd even say she's more sensible than she really is, because some pretty sensible girls think it isn't sensible to be sensible when you're pretty, but I think being pretty sensible makes sense, don't you?
Yeah. All I know is I got a brand of Texas kisses I've been saving all my life for just the right gal.
Well, then, get ready to squander your life savings, Texas, because here she comes.
Hey, Tex, here's Gloria Winfield and some of the crowd.
Hey, that's the prettiest piece of calico I've seen between here and the Rio Grande. So long, Miss Greenwood. I gotta go stake out a claim.
Yeah, come on, Tex. Let's get going.
All right, have a good time, kid.
Oh, dear. Well, son, what's the matter with you? What are you staying here for?
Nothing. Why?
Aren't you going to the dance?
I'm too short to dance.
Oh. What size got to do with it? I used to go to dances, and I'm so tall that when my beau called, I had to stand in the ditch to meet him face to face.
Mammy Hart, haven't got a date.
Oh, I can fix that for you. Barbara Barton hasn't a date either.
Barbara Barton? Are you kidding?
No, she came with her brother. Come on, we'll find her, and I'll introduce you.
Barbara Barton wouldn't date with me.
I don't see why not.
Because she wouldn't.
But you haven't answered my question. Why not?
All right, make me say it. It's probably what you want to hear anyway. I'm not good enough for Barbara Barton. I'm not good enough for any of them. I don't belong. Are you satisfied now?
No. A long way from satisfied. Who says you're not good enough?
Oh, never mind.
Maybe you're the one who says it. You know, son, what other people think of a man usually comes pretty close to being what he thinks of himself.
They don't have to say it. Do they ever ask me over or invite me to their parties? Invite me to their parties. That's rich. Me, Luke Jones, on the other side of the track.
Henry Hennigan lives in what you call the other side of the tracks. He seems to do all right.
Hank's a natural-born leader. He's good at things. He's already got his choice of scholarships in 2 different colleges.
I doubt if he was born a leader or even good at things. And I'm absolutely certain he wasn't born with 2 scholarships.
Okay, let's forget it.
Son, you know, most of us start out with just about the same equipment. And after that, you're on your own.
Look, forget it, will you?
All right. Let's talk about something else, then. Have you always lived in Lakeview?
No.
Come from another town?
From the country. And I sure wish I was back there.
Oh, yes, the country is nice.
Yeah.
Especially now that spring will soon be here.
Yeah. Spring comes like a parade.
Did you say parade?
You keep waiting and watching for it. And then somehow you catch the first faint stir and all the vibrance of marching feet on the other side of the horizon. Nearer and nearer. Green banners suddenly coming over the hill. Flowers like the bright notes of proud trumpets. And I guess you think I'm kind of dumb.
What did you say your name was?
Luke. Lucas Jones.
Well, Lucas, you certainly have a lot of mistaken ideas about yourself. But when you say that I think you're kind of goofy, well, that's the biggest mistake of all. because I think you're kind of good. Jack with a scholarship essay.
Oh, Jack, you told me you'd already sent that in to the state university.
I have, but the five winners have to recite their essays in the high school auditorium. You know, when the scholarships are passed out, so I'm rehearsing.
Go ahead, Jack.
All right, now let's start all over. Mr. Chairman, distinguished guests, members of the faculty, alumni in the armed forces, fellow students, and ladies and gentlemen.
Well, if you've left anybody out, they deserve it.
I have chosen the subject, Great Women of History. Despite her feminine foibles, woman, generally speaking, is
generally speaking.
Miss Greenwood. Miss Greenwood, this is a serious matter.
I'm so sorry, Jack.
Woman, generally speaking, is man's best friend. Naturally, I exclude what we call in French, la belle dame sans merci.
For house sharper?
Oh, yes. For how sharper than a leopard's tooth it is to have a thankless friend. And,
down through the ages.
Oh, wait a minute now, wait a minute. La belle dame sans merci. For how sharper than a leopard's friend it is to have a thankless tooth.
No, no. How sharper than a thankless tooth it is to have a leopard's fang.
Oh, no, that's wrong. How sharper than a leopard's fangs it is to have a toothless friend. A lot of help a fella gets around here. You just don't appreciate having a prize winner in the house.
Well, if you do win, the house won't hold you. After all, there are a lot of other students trying out for scholarships.
Sure, Wallace Morton, Howard Marlowe, Willa McComber.
And Lucas Jones.
Lucas Jones?
What?
That meatball?
Now, wait a moment, Jack. That's hardly a friendly way to talk about it.
I didn't mean anything by it, but Luke hasn't a chance.
Whatever gave him the notion of entering the contest?
I did.
Oh, Sean,
I think he has a very good chance.
Oh, Luke Jones doesn't know what life's all about.
Well, that's a condition more or less shared by the whole human race.
Only you don't know about Lucas. He failed at everything he's ever tried out for. Athletics and the fate and the drama club.
Oh, they left him right off the stage.
Well, that's cruel, really cruel.
Jack's right. The kid used to try to get him into things just to laugh at him. He's so awkward.
Looks like Lucas and I have a few things in common.
He's been hurt and made fun of for so long that he's afraid of everything. He thinks everybody's against him.
Then he needs to win. For something a great deal more important than a scholarship, he needs to win for himself.
But if he doesn't win, then what have you done to him, don't you see? Oh, Aunt Charlotte, you're taking an awful chance.
I wonder.
Haven't there been times when you were celebrating some special occasion and you thought of old friends far away and wished that they could be with you? Then perhaps you received cards that told you they were thinking of you, and so your friends were with you after all, sharing that happy occasion in spirit. Think how much those cards meant to you, and how much pleasure your cards can bring to your friends on their special days. Your Hallmark dealer has many fine, original cards appropriate for every occasion. There are beautiful cards and faultless taste for congratulating your friends on their wedding day, on their anniversaries, or when the stork arrives. There are birthday cards galore, some with affectionate wishes, others with clever, humorous verses that sparkle like candles on a birthday cake. You'll find cheerful get-well cards for convalescents and cards for sending just a friendly, everyday hello to someone. Yes, whatever your needs may be, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say and the way you want to say it. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. So, back to our story. Both Barbara and Jack feel that Charlotte has made a mistake by encouraging Lucas Jones to enter the essay contest. However, Charlotte doesn't agree with him. And then a few days later at the lunchroom as the contest draws to a close.
Miss Greenwood here.
I'm Miss Greenwood.
I'm Mrs. Jones. Lucas Jones, Mother.
Oh, how are you, Mrs. Jones? Lucas has told me a great deal about you.
He's told me a lot about you, too. He thinks you're being very nice and kind to him.
Oh, it's nothing if I can do anything to help him.
Miss Greenwood, Lucas is 17 years old. You don't have to be very clever to fool a boy of 17.
I don't believe I know what you're talking about.
This essay contest.
Oh, but there is a contest, and it's open to high school students. It's an opportunity to get a scholarship at the state university.
If you win.
Of course.
And you think Lucas is going to win?
Oh, he has as much chance as anyone else.
Against the kids of influential folks like the Winfields and the Bartons and the Marlowe.
Now, wait a minute. What makes you think they're so influential?
It's public opinion. Everybody thinks so.
Public opinion is only what people think. Everybody thinks.
Just the same, you know they're the kind of folks who have pull.
I can't say that I know that. Whatever influence they might have here in Lakeview certainly doesn't extend to the state university.
That may be your honest opinion, Miss Greenwood, but those that have, get. That's the way it always has been and it always will be. The whole universe is against little people.
To the universe, I imagine we're all little people. I doubt whether it's very much concerned with us, either for or against.
I can't argue with you, Miss Greenwood. You're educated and smart, and I'm just a plain woman. I came here to ask you a favor, to tell Lucas to forget about the contest.
Oh, but I can't do that. I'm the one who encouraged him to go into it.
Yeah, I've seen that happen before, too. I can kind of excuse the kids for treating him the way they do. They're young, and they don't stop to think. But for you to be playing the same kind of joke on him...
But Mrs. Jones...
For you to be holding him up to ridicule...
I think Lucas has talent. I'm certain he has. Don't you want to see him do something with it?
No, no. I only want people to let him alone. I don't care if he can't dress as well as the other kids or join their clubs or run around with them. I'm just asking you, all of you, let him alone.
By the house and thought I'd drop in. Say, your hair certainly does look pretty.
Thank you, Junior.
Yeah, yes, sir. It reminds me of the sun after a shower.
Now, don't tell me it's coming out.
No, it's bright and sunny. Yes, and your skin is white as snow, your smile warm, and your eyes like violets in the rain.
What is this, Junior? A compliment or a weather report?
Oh, they say, that's what I like about you, Miss Greenwood. You got brains. And besides, you're pretty and smart and kind and generous, too. Say, you couldn't let me have a dollar.
How'd you know I couldn't?
Oh. Now, look, Miss Greenwood.
Now, it's no use, Junior, now. Why are you always asking me for money? Nobody else does that.
Nobody else knows when I'm broke.
What did you do with the $3 I advanced you yesterday?
Well, I spent it on a picture show.
$3 on one show? What picture was it?
I don't know. I couldn't get in. Every time I got as far as the door, a fella would tear up my ticket.
Well... Oh,
sure, Lee, and I tell you, I need money bad, Miss Greenwood. I got to get my bicycle fixed and a whole lot of things. Oh, come on now, Miss Greenwood, please. Just this once, and I won't ask you again.
Oh, well, I ought to know better, but you always talk me into it. Where's my purse?
Right there in the hall stand. Well,
you've got good eyesight. Here's your dollar.
Oh, thanks, Miss Greenwood. And I still say you remind me of a summer day.
I know, Junior, long and balmy.
Miss Greenwood...
Hello,
Junior.
Well,
hiya,
Lucas.
Good evening,
Miss Greenwood.
Well, Lucas, this is a pleasant surprise.
I want to talk to you. My mother doesn't think I ought to be in the contest.
What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, it's too late now. I've already sent my essay in.
You say that as if your essay were a resignation from the human race. Come on now, it isn't that serious. Suppose you do fail. Success comes through overcoming failure.
I can't fail in this. It'd be the end. There wouldn't be anything left.
Lucas, I was just reading about a man who failed at almost everything he turned to.
as a farmer, as a storekeeper, and then as a lawyer. But he kept right on. And one day he became president of the United States. His name was Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. I see what you mean, only... Well, look, I brought a copy of my essay. Would you mind looking it over? It isn't long.
Yes, I'd love to look at it, Lucas.
Oh, thanks. The subject I picked out was Our National Economy in a Changing World.
Yeah, so I see here. What made you choose this particular topic?
Well, I don't know. We only had five topics to choose from. That looked as good as any of the others to me. Well, don't you think it's all right?
Of course.
Well?
It's very interesting, Lucas, and thanks for letting me see it.
Oh, well, that's it.
What's it?
You're not fooling me. It isn't any good.
Oh, I didn't say that.
You don't have to say it. It's no good. I knew it wasn't when I sent it in. Nothing I do will ever be any good.
Now, Lucas.
Nothing I ever do.
That isn't true. Some of the other things you wrote and showed me were very good. That little story you left here with me, that was excellent.
But that isn't being submitted to the university. I want to know about my essay. Will it win?
I can't answer you. I couldn't tell unless I could read all the other essays submitted. And even then, I might not know.
But down in your heart, you know, don't you? Don't you? Well, I'll be going now.
Good night, Lucas. Lucas, good night. Out of my way.
Morning, Charlotte.
Good morning, Miss Greenwood.
Why, boys, aren't you up a little early?
I love these crisp, invigorating winter mornings. They make me feel like a million.
These days, a million isn't so much. It's hardly a drop in the budget.
Well, we're on our way to the high school, Miss Greenwood, and thought we might let you off the lunchroom.
Well, thanks, only I'm expecting a caller. But you're always so sweet, Judge, and so generous. Oh, well.
He's very generous. Especially generous when it's my car. I'm always driving him around. He's too economical to hire a cab.
Well, Mr. Anderson, you're appreciated, too. You're a dear, good friend.
Oh.
And what would you call me?
A close friend.
I seem to detect a hidden meaning in that, Anderson.
Oh, now, no bickering now. Mr. Anderson, would you stop at the lunchroom and give Junior a message?
Oh, certainly. Besides a chauffeur, I'm also a carrier pigeon.
Carrier pigeon? No, that reminds me, carrier pigeon. I read about a man who introduced a carrier pigeon to a woodpecker. Now they have a bird that not only delivers messages, but knocks at the door first.
And if a kangaroo met a mink, they could raise fur coats with pockets.
All right. Or introduce an owl to a duck for wise quack. I tell you, there's something about that dog. Oh, hello, Barbara.
Hi.
Good morning.
Oh, just Cronin. Any word on the essay contest winners?
Well, yes, I've got them right here.
Oh, quick, did Jack win?
Well, I shouldn't tell you yet, but yes. He won a scholarship with his essay on great women of history.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, how could he lose? A 17-year-old knows all about women, and he never knows how much he doesn't know about them till he's 70.
Who were the other winners, Judge Cronin?
Why, let's see. The other four are Gloria Winfield, Janet Gregory, Howard Morton, and Anderson. Who was the fifth? I've forgotten. I think the name started with
An L. Oh, Charlotte, could it be?
The list is right here in my pocket. Now, what did I do with that? Oh, yes, here it is. The name is Lester Wilson.
Yeah, Lester Wilson. That was
Lester. Right. Yes. Oh, Aunt Charlotte, I told you this would happen. Why did you ever encourage Luke anyway?
Because I never saw a boy that needed encouragement so badly.
Yes, but now he's hurt and humiliated again.
I'll go. I think it'd be a good time for me to go anyway.
Good morning. Is this the Barton residence?
Yes, it is. Won't you step in out of the cold?
Thank you. It's really snowy out this here morning. My cab had a detour coming from the station. I assume you're Mrs. Greenwood?
You're still detouring. It isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry. I don't believe I've had the pleasure of...
Oh, yes, yes. My name is Ralston, Miss Greenwood. I phoned you this morning. I represent the book publisher Caxton and Gowdy of New York.
What is this, a book agent at this time of the morning? Where's that dog? Never around when you want him.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Anderson. Mr. Ralston, how is Mr. Gowdy?
Oh, fine. He asked me to tell you what a pleasure it was to hear from you again.
Thank you.
He sent me out to talk to you about that manuscript you sent him.
Just a minute. The manuscript? What manuscript?
A story called Pastoral Scene by Lucas Jones.
And Charlotte, you sent a story by Luke to a New York publisher?
Yes, Barbara. Mr. Gowdy, the publisher, is an old friend of mine. Did he like it, Mr. Ralston?
Well, he thought it was so promising and showed such definite talent that he followed your suggestion and entered the manuscript in the National Guild Award.
Oh, good.
And I have the pleasure of telling you that Lucas Jones has won first prize, a scholarship to Harvard.
Oh, Charlotte, you're wonderful.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Luke going to Harvard.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait, let me get this story. Boy, this is front page. Cronin, your scholarship awards will have to move back to page 3.
And now, in your story, Anderson, be sure to give Miss Greenwood proper credit.
Well, of course.
She's the one who discovered the genius.
Oh, yeah. Judge, nobody ever discovers a genius. All you can do is help him discover himself. You know that.
Well, maybe Lucas did have the urge to write. But it took you to bring him up to scratch.
Well, when you got a scratch, you got a scratch. Isn't that right, Flash?
Charlotte Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, how many of us are afraid of failure? But the only real failure is the failure to try. Everyone, even the greatest of men, has made a mistake. For a great man is not one who never fails. He's one who always remains greater than the mistake he makes. At the very same time, this is Charlotte Green would say,
so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I'll just say, so long.
So long.
John Brown, Charles Cantor, and Edward Ryan, who appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, came to you from Hollywood. This is Wendell Niles speaking. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.
12:30 at KECA, Los Angeles.